This episode of Speakers of Fightlin is made possible by our generous patrons. Special thanks to our Supreme and Master Speakers, Circuit Barrakeel, Remy Azalea, Saray Cypher, Omega Cat Comet, Arisu Yamakawa, Nina Grimstadter, Casey Schaefer, Daimos, Sisirafula Lirafu, Lily Black, Hans Grenade, Sapa Chakwatol, Azuta Starbreeze, Faris Gentoru, Cletus Oreo, Quick Levin, Sayuri Snowfall, Lucaliana Trell, Stella Bell, Cirrus, Icy Lee, Lyria Rain, Pamela Isley, Umbral Wind, Naive Areno, Celeste Draskris, Elenriel Maximus, Edwin, Bob CC, Celestia, Fabs and Voidworm, Yuling Jung, Raimi Maverick, Code Red No, and Mira Miri. Support the show and become a patron today at patreon.com/speakersxiv. Thank you.
This is Speakers of Fightlin.
Good evening, Aorcians. Welcome to Speakers of Eidolon, episode 191. I'm Lakeel Brainstone, and I'm joined today by Georgi Whiston and Mela Vanadar.
Hi.
Welcome. Hi. We are Rollo-less today. Also, apologies for the late start. We had problems, ironically, with the wait screen. Which meant that I couldn't even open OBS. But here we are, episode 191. We're coming up to our bicentennial episode.
Wow.
That is crazy. 200 episodes? Bicentennial, right?
Wow.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. You are correct. Don't worry.
You just wanted to use a fancy word, didn't you?
No. Bicentennial isn't a fancy word. Our 200th episode. Bicentennial sounds more like a cause for celebration than the 200th episode. If I say like, oh, it's our 200th episode, it sounds like, oh, God, we've been doing this for too long.
Oh,
bicentennial sounds like, wow, it's the big celebration coming up. It is Saturday, April 18th, 2020. For those of you watching on demand, that's very interesting to know. It's also on there, so I just realized. I don't know why I keep saying the date, but here you are. Oh, audio listeners. Shout out to you. I know you've been waiting for the audio episodes for a while. I'm sorry, but we have the worst host, and I'm going to switch. So fixing that. Welcome to the episode, anyways. Our main topics today, we'll be reading two interviews today, one with Yoshi P and one with Woolhead Matsuno, one from Gamer Escape and one from USG. Is it US Gamer?
It's probably like that other website where the initial stands for like all the initials again.
Yeah. We'll also, of course, discuss the recently announced live letter. I don't think there is time for Mogmail today, but it is on there. So if we have time, we will read Mogmail. We will then rotate next week. I'm unsure how we're going to resolve the post-show, considering how late we are going today, but we have to read questions from the syndicate. So we will find a solution to that at the end. It depends on how much time we have left when we're wrapping up the show. All right. Let's talk about what we've done this week in 14. Who wants to start? I'm not going to ask that. I'm just going to pick. I think it's been a while since Mela started. Mela?
Well, it's been an interesting week, Nikhil. I've started leveling some alt jobs. I'm going to try and do Lancer, Pugilist, and Rogue simultaneously. So I've got two of them to 15 and one to 10. And then when the last one's 15, I'm going to try and do Squadrons or something to level them.
Mm-hmm.
Takes longer than I remember to
level. Are you leveling from one?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me.
At least all those jobs have hunting logs.
Yeah, I'm just doing hunting logs and a few leaves and stuff to get them up, and then I can start doing dungeons from 15.
Leaves.
I also am continuing with my A Realm Reborn relic, my Black Mage one. So I finished the Atma stage, and now I'm doing the Trials of the Braves.
Wait, you never did the A Realm Reborn relic for your Black Mage?
No, I started it, and then I think Heavensward one would have been coming out, or I'd have been catching up on the Heavensward one at the same time, and then I just took that one further.
That makes sense.
Because that one actually mattered at the time, so I never got around to doing it.
Yeah.
Really, really repetitive rubbish books, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All the leaves are from the same three leave givers.
Is it still done in that way where you have to like take extra leaves to rotate the stock
so you get the
so they still have that. All right. Yeah, yeah. Hated that.
That's just a good system.
Just be glad you're not killing 10 of each enemy anymore.
Yeah, it's 3 now, but
true.
In a way though, now that we've got a lot more zones, a lot more end game zones and just, you know, fate sync and maybe the leaf system's a bit better, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're good in concept.
Yeah.
They're a nice system.
Yeah, they are good in concept.
I won't mind them for the expansion we're on now.
It was just, I think I've said this before, but I will never forget like launch day of the books when I got the there's like those enemies in near the Menfina monument in Mordona. And there's like, I think in total, 6 enemies in that general area, and only like 3 of them were the ones in your book. And now the entire server needs those. 10 of those.
Yeah, it's still like that, but at least no one else is doing it.
I just remember the feeling of complete, like, there is 0 chance I will be able to do this today. There was like maybe 70 people just standing there waiting for these to respawn so they could kill them. I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I
think I also got Lawman this week, the machinist.
Oh yeah.
Relic.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it. You've been relicking and you've been doing a Realm Reborn stuff this week.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Georgi, what have you done?
I looked at my Gunbreaker.
Mm.
Oh.
You looked at it.
Nice looking, is it?
Yes.
Mm.
It looks all right.
okay. Yeah.
What else did I do? I gave some things. Actually, no, that's a lie. I didn't give anything to the Domans yet. I will.
Mm.
Do they deserve it?
They give me twice. We've discussed this before. I don't understand their supply chain. I don't understand how they can give you so much money for what you give them.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy materia.
Yeah, they sure do. Most of Doma is built on materia.
But other than that, Gunbreaker is the next class I want, next job I want to level because of the fact that it's relevant right now.
Mm, yeah. That is true. Yeah. The relic looks really good for it as well. So.
Yeah.
But other than that, I just haven't had much time to play this week.
No.
Ironically.
I haven't... Me neither. I have... Have I done anything? Have I even logged into it this week? Other than for streams? I can't remember. I started leveling... I'm leveling Bard. That's all I do.
Oh, you are leveling Bard.
Good choice.
But... slow. Thankfully, I have no classes at 1. All my classes start at 70 minimum, so at least I only have 10 levels to go. But it's also sad because I can't like. Now I realize why people want jump potions in this game. For the first time, I felt I felt if I had to do a level 1 class at this point, I think I would cheat with the jump potion, considering I have like I already have like. 6 or 7 classes to 80.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's sort of why I don't feel like touching a, like Realm Reborn classes and jobs on my Ragnarok character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is daunting, but I don't know. I like the, you know, like the first 5 levels where it goes really quickly. That's nice.
Yeah.
That is nice.
And also, now that you're doing a Realm Reborn stuff, you can leave Link, Mela. You can leave Link. You can leave Link now for leveling. You can get people together and leave Link, which is what all the cool kids do.
Yeah, I might do that.
Yeah. It's very hipster to do now. Hey, make a party find and go like, hey, want to leave Link? Looking for group, leave Link. But yeah, you can do Palace of the Dead.
I don't think Palace of the Dead is faster for the first 15 levels.
Oh yeah, you can't even get in, can you? Yes, you can.
I think you can get in, but it's not. I don't think it's faster.
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Well, that's what we've done this week. We're waiting. We're waiting for content. all right. Let's jump into a recent event. Okay. So, in recent events, the Primals digital version of their album Out of the Shadows is available now.
Did they call it an album?
I don't know. It doesn't say. They have just released two tracks. There's two tracks. It's an EP. It has four tracks. We've heard, listen to these tracks. We listened to the Twintania one before. This is the one with the Twintania. No, I keep saying Twintania.
Titania
theme on it. You can get them on Amazon Music. I don't know what I'm reporting on here, to be completely honest.
I think it's on iTunes as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably on
Apple Music, sorry.
But they specify that it is download only.
It's not on Spotify.
You cannot get it any streaming or subscriptions in any streaming or subscription services.
It's mostly only the soundtracks that they put on streaming services. I'm not aware of any of like the Primals or orchestral albums being on a streaming service.
You can purchase the CD at the Square Enix store if you want it physically.
Mm. So, did you see the tweet of someone? I can't remember which one they were asking for, but they were saying, like, I don't buy things on Apple iTunes or I don't buy things on Amazon. I can't remember which one. And so I only buy them on the opposite of whichever one they mentioned. And then someone said, someone responded that it is out on that service. And then Soken replied, you have to buy it now.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That was funny. Okay, so go get that. In other news, you can the free login campaign is back. You can play up to 8 days, which is the longest campaign yet, according to their little banner. Their post goes, Final Fantasy XIV continues to grow with the latest patch, bringing a wealth of new quests and challenges for adventurers to overcome. The free login campaign provides the perfect opportunity to jump straight back into the action. Offering up to 8 days of playtime, this is the longest free login campaign we have ever held. If you or any of your friends are currently taking a break, you won't want to miss out on this limited time event. So it's the same requirements as before. Users who have previously purchased and registered 14. All registered service accounts must be set as inactive during the campaign period, and registered service accounts must have been inactive for at least 30 days. The campaign started on April 14th and will conclude on Sunday, May 17th, Norwegian Constitution Day, at 7:59 a.m. PDT.
I hope you're all ready for...
I'm gonna make waffles, guys. Waffles and...
Remember the last Norwegian Independence National whatever it is day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a time. So you will get 8 days, including the day on which the user first logs in. So it's the usual stuff. You know how the free login campaigns work. Yeah. But if you have a friend that hasn't been playing for a while, you might be able to rope them back in now with at least for 8 days, or more like 1 day, because it's very hard to get friends that have left the game to like stay. But it's fun to play with them again.
They might have more time right now than they would normally.
That's true. It might be a very tactical move from Square Enix here with this campaign. Okay, but we have more exciting news to talk about. We've been waiting for it, and now we're getting it. Letter from the Producer Live, part 58?
Correct. You're correct.
Set for April 21st. Yeah. Roman numerals.
Did you say 21st?
24th.
Yes.
21st.
Colin Firth. I think I was thinking about Colin Firth. Maybe that's why.
Wow.
I don't know why I thought about Colin Firth. He just popped up in my mind. I like his last name, Firth. Anyways. The next letter from the producer live will feature the first preview of patch 5.3. In the second half of the show, everyone's favorite producer and director brings his character online. Who knows where his adventures might take him? So
I don't like it when they do that because it means that there's an unknown percentage of what is awesome 5.3 preview and what is Yoshi P wandering around.
I mean, consider the fact that almost all live letters have an interview with someone in the second half. It's like,
yeah,
it's no different from that. It's just this time it's going to be Yoshi P.
Yeah,
and Foxconn by themselves.
The time is 4 a.m. for PDT, so not good for North America, but good for pretty much everyone else. Good for Europe, good for Australia, good for Japan,
obviously.
It's noon for Brits, and 1 p.m. / 2 p.m. for the mainland of Europe. Yeah, we also learned, by the way, this is a very strange side note, but shout out to Iceland, that's just constantly on GMT. We learned that yesterday.
Yeah, that is true.
Or was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But they just don't do daylight savings. Okay. They will show details, patch 5.3 preview part 1, and a stroll with Yoshi P, which is obviously going to be 85% of the stream. But, yeah, good. It's one thing that's worth noting is that they announced this a week. We only got a week's notice for this one.
Yeah, it feels really short.
Yeah, so it feels like maybe they were like, okay, maybe they can see a downwards trend, maybe because hype is dying a little because, you know, because of the announcement that the patch will be delayed. Maybe a lot of people are letting their subs lapse.
Yeah.
So they're like, we need to get that hype train going now, boys. So they're just, they're cobbling this together this.
The shortest turnaround.
Yeah, yeah.
I think ever.
Yeah. Mm. So that's cool. That's good. It's nice to...
Yeah, finally.
Yeah. Go on.
Where do you think they're going to broadcast it from? Because they already said that Square Enix or the 14 staff will be working from home from now on.
That'll be interesting. Maybe it'll be from like Yoshi P's home and it'll cut to it'll be like a multi.
Will we get to see his Fortnite playing son?
Oh my god, that would be a dream.
And all of his Blizzard posters.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about his Fortnite son. So yeah, that's cool. What do you think they're gonna show? Stupid question. We know that what they're gonna do. They're gonna give us the headlines, and then in part two,
the loads of question marks.
Yeah,
we will probably get a dungeon name,
possibly a dungeon name. Yeah,
because we got Anamnesis and Eidolon before we understood what that meant.
Yeah,
yeah. If it's not too spoilery in the name of it, then yeah, we'll probably get that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like the number of trials or something.
Patch name, of course, yeah. Patch name.
We should get the patch name. We probably won't get patch artwork.
Oh, no. Well, no. There's no way. Not with all these delays.
No. They'll probably give us the name of the Nier raid because it's pretty obvious what it's going to be already.
Yeah.
Should be the carnival.
Maybe.
Yeah. What are we expecting from 5.3?
Well, the grind step of the relic.
Yeah, that's true. There's more of that. Blades of Gunhelder.
If we're getting a new Eureka, this would be a good time to reveal.
Here's a question. Do you think they will... Because I think that the relic... The original idea was to introduce the relic quest, the grind step, in like a post patch. Like in a point patch. Like 5.35. Do you think maybe in light of what's happening, they'll be wanting to get that closer to launch of 5.3, maybe even in 5.3? Because that would be good content to...
That would be a wise decision, I think.
Yeah. I could definitely see them swapping around things that are being released in each of the parts of 3.
Yeah. Yeah, they also did say that there was no deep dungeon this time. So this would be the deep dungeon patch.
Deep dungeon would be nice around right about now.
Yeah. So I wonder if we're getting a new deep dungeon or if that is like whatever the relic stuff is. Maybe the relic shit is like very in-depth, like massive. One can dream. But
that would be cool.
And that would be perfect if we had like some sort of palace, like Heaven on High / Diadem shit going on. No, Diadem. Not Diadem. Eureka. But I don't know.
I could see them possibly adding like some sort of tome grind phase for the relic that was maybe not intended originally for the 0.3 patch, since that would be easier for them to implement if the like exploration zone for the relic was scheduled for 0.35. It might be more difficult for them to move that forward. So they could have had like some sort of like tome grind phase scheduled for later that they might move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they say in the quest that you need to fight, you know, your relic will power up depending on the type of people you fight or something. So some sort of, you know, instant style content's probably coming.
Yeah. Other than that, of course, there's the story, which will be...
We should say
Sapphire touch on Weapon. That.
They might, yeah, they might give us a few drips. No. I think the most that will reveal the MSQ.
Normally they just say new MSQ.
Yeah, I think the MSQ will be mostly revealed through the title of the patch. That will probably be the biggest indicator. Because this is the second part of the end. Wait, no, is this the first part of the end of...
This is the second part.
This
is the final part.
Yeah, this is the final part. Yeah. This is the end of the Shadowbringers storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So, that title will probably be an indicator of what's to come.
Yeah.
Chat brings up, we'll see the final Beast Tribe, probably Dwarves, but...
Oh, yeah.
No guarantee.
That is true.
That's
yeah.
true.
I don't know if we're expecting any sort of level cap increase or something for Blue Mage yet, or is that
they haven't talked about
down
it.
The line?
That would be a thing that they would reveal just out of the blue, I guess, because out of the blue. I'm too good.
You're funny.
Yeah, I know. I'm a comedian. But yes, I don't know when they announce. Well, there is no pattern to the Blue Mage stuff.
No,
they just kind of do it. Whenever.
I feel as if it won't be this patch. It will. A part of me thinks it will be like 0.4.
Mm. Yeah. Because when was the last one? 0.1? 0.2?
0.1.
Yeah, 0.1.
Yeah,
0.1.
Well, it would make sense actually to do it in 0.3 if they wanted to do it like, if they want to eventually catch up with the. Because they said that was like a goal at some point to like maybe even catch up with the current level cap. Also perfect content. Remember, they would want us to have like long-term content now that they know that there's going to be a drought. Like
time,
they can't develop as fast as they usually do, so now they have to think about how to like extend content for as long as possible while they're figuring shit out. There's the A Realm Reborn rework. I can't believe we haven't talked about that is happening with this patch. I can't wait. I want to play the game again before and after. Maybe that's a stream.
I see that.
But that would be interesting. Because I, from what I can tell from what they've said so far, it's pretty significant what they're doing. And also considering all the stuff that we've seen, like the addition of like flight walls, like we had, there's stuff happening in the world. That's of course exciting.
Well, even if the patch isn't coming out until sort of August, July, August time, a Realm Reborn takes a heck of a long time.
If it's August, I'll be horrified. They said
that's true. July.
They said it was scheduled for June. Probably July.
It's a late one. Also, moving on. There's been some breaking news again. Starting 5.3. the Crystal Tower quest series will become mandatory for MSQ. So now you have to do Crystal Tower.
I believe this was announced in the comments for the rebroadcast of the first Live Letters.
Oh, we haven't even talked about that, by the way. I can't believe we haven't even put it in the show notes. They've been showing the old Live Letters. They've been rerunning them.
Episode 1, 2, and 3.
That's when I realized, oh my God, we are in, like, things are, they were in a weird time. This is a weird timeline. Because why would you, it's like I always say when people say they watch old episodes of Speakers, it's kind of the same reaction I have to the Live Letters. I'm like, why? It's just old information. I almost got like PTSD looking at it. I'm like, oh God, I remember this time. It was like an awful time where I'm like, oh God, my game is gone. And now they're talking about all these scary new features. But yeah, it was all right seeing like, there's some old memes that came back, like with Yuichi Wada when he used to be on stream, the old ex-CEO of Square Enix. He used to be like a constant annoyance for Yoshi-P during Live Letters, because he would be the one like revealing stuff before they were supposed to be revealed. So that was fun. It's also fun to see just how like cobbled together everything is. Like they're literally just in their office, like in front of a window.
They don't have a broadcast studio back then.
No. And you can tell that they're kind of nervous. They don't quite know what they've thrown themselves into.
And the whole stream is just them going, remember to send us questions. Hashtag ask FFXIV or whatever.
God, it is kind of like, oh, that's the time when they were very like cute and innocent and we were all part of this big experiment. Are they going to keep doing that or is it over now?
I doubt
they sent the first three.
Yeah, they've done them this week. Yeah, and I imagine that's it.
Everyone's got a lot of free time to watch a lot of nonsense now.
That's true. And this is something that I don't think they had like stored on. This wasn't archived on their YouTube channel either, I think. So it's for a lot of people, this was inaccessible until recently. Okay, that's recent events. Let's move on to
We didn't really talk about the fact that Crystal Tower is now mandatory.
Well, there isn't much more to say about it, is there?
Well, there are implications about it. Like, why are they making it mandatory all of a sudden? Is like, do you think, because of the fact that, what do you think it means for the story? Like, do you think we will have to wake up Graha on the source?
No, he's going to die.
I think it's going to become a location in the MSQ, and if you've not done it, it makes no sense. Already makes minimal sense to go to that like the like labyrinth bit underneath it to search for that beacon during the MSQ,
right?
Without having done the Crystal Tower, so if we're going to just go in and wake up Graha Tia, even though he's in our timeline, we've not even met him, and that's not happened, it doesn't make sense. So I think it's going to become an actual set piece.
Is anyone surprised by this, that we're going to wake up? I mean, we're going to wake up Graha, and that's why they're doing this, right?
It's in the air.
Yeah,
he needs to be asleep to be woken up.
Yes, exactly. There you go. And I think Graha on the first is therefore going to die.
Yes.
Possibly.
There you go. That's my prediction.
Yeah, he's going to crystallize and then we're going to have housing item.
Diable housing item, please. I want like a purple Graha Tia. Like a Zodiac themed Graha Tia crystal.
I'm still holding on to the idea that I think that the first Graha's memories will be fused with ours.
That's a wish, otherwise it'd be annoying because he wouldn't know he'd done that cute crying scene.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. Things are happening, the patch.
Chat brought this up earlier. As of 5.3, both raid series, 2 out of 3 raid series will be required.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Evilise as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Only the Shadows of Mark.
Remember when we talked about this like, months ago, like almost before Shadowbringers. It was before Shadowbringers. And we were saying like exactly this. Like, they were going to tie the raids to the MSQ. And all the people that were like, there is no way. This is unprecedented. They've never done this before. And they never changed their formula. They would never do such a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I rest my case. We have entered a new era.
I think done it with Alliance raids and normal raids now again.
Yeah.
I think if they could, they would make Coil mandatory. However, they've backed themselves into a corner by giving it no normal mode.
Yeah.
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 They need to rework the whole series to maybe do that,
a Realm Reborn rework.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Maybe we'll get a normal mode with the rework.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I mean, I feel like
super bizarre.
Coil is a really good story.
Oh, incredible series.
And it is
the best story.
It has baffled me that this has not been included in the MSQ in any way before. So hopefully they'll, because you learn a lot about Alphino and Alice in this.
Yes, I think the Coil series is almost like integral to the Aroma Wars MSQ. It's so important.
Yeah.
And it's so missable. It's sad.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll I hope they make a normal mode for Coil and then make it like a required, make that a requirement as well for the MSQ. Because there's a reference to it. Remember, there's like certain things in the I think that was Heavensward though, that you would only get if you had done Coil with Alize.
Yeah.
So
and also the stuff with Tiamat.
Yes. Yeah. There's more stuff there. It's more dialogue. There's and right now there's like no incentive for you to go and do Coil. It's hard to even find the quest for Coil.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
The MSQ does in no way nudge you towards
the quest as well.
Yeah, it's just your Orianje. But remember, if you start a new game and you're in the Waking Sands, Orianje has like 10 quests, like for unlocks.
Yeah.
And in between them,
just extreme trials.
Yeah. And if you're a new player, you want to find the unlock quests. And I think the first Coil quest isn't like an unlock quest, because you have to do like, there's a prerequisite for the Coil quest that you have to do before you can unlock Coil, if I remember correctly. So it's quite, you need to know that you want to do Coil.
You've got to find out what to do.
You have to do every quest. Yeah. So there's a lot of people that I've met that have never done Coil. So, and that is always very sad for me.
You don't have to do the A Realm Reborn extremes to unlock Coil.
No. Oh God, no. But there is something to unlock some of the extremes, I think. There's some long quest for, is it the first 3 extreme primals?
You had to keep going. You had to keep going back to Orianje for every single one. Yeah. And these long quests. You remember you had to go and back to all their crystals.
Yeah.
Like in Natalan and the Silver.
I liked that, but it's also like pointless.
Was those the hard modes? Oh my god, you had to unlock the hard modes first and then the extremes. Oh my god. A Realm Reborn special.
I'm missing Aetherites, like Beast Tribe Aetherites.
Yeah, I agree. Same. That is true. We don't have them at all in the overworld anymore.
I mean,
only Garuda's Beast Tribes. Garuda's is in the
Natalan.
In the open. It's in Natalan, yeah.
Both heavens were leveling ones, and all the Realm Reborn ones exist in the overworld.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, but we need to move on. We have an interview. This is done by Gamer Escape. This is with Naoki Yoshida and Yosuke Mogi from. He's the lead character concept artist. This is from PAX East. but it is quite interesting because it's touching on some very interesting topics. We'll just jump into this. This is an email interview. So currently in the game, we have several different types of social tools, free companies, link shells, and now fellowships. What led to creating fellowships? Oh, remember fellowships? What led to creating fellowships as a separate system versus integrating those features into free companies or link shells? Good question. Because, I mean, fellowships in its current form is completely pointless. I'm sure someone has found a way to use it, but because that's always going to be the argument, like, oh, but we use it this way. That's fine. I'm glad someone found some use for it, but it's not a very intuitive system. Like, it's just a list of people, a guest book, which is, I think that's the closest thing to it. It's like a board, message board.
Yeah.
And there's that's it. But you have to, like, manually open it. It's very...
Very... Japanese web 2.0 in design.
yes. Yoshida says fellowships serve as a sort of role play mechanism, and we implemented it as a system without limitations on how it should be used, so players can casually come together as a group. Without limitations. Curious.
Come together.
Yeah, as a group. The team wanted to make it possible for players to create different community groups, such as one for people that love TV dramas.
Ah, TV dramas. He always likes to bring up TV dramas.
Yeah. One for people that love novels, or another for people that live in the same region, and we wanted to achieve this without including a chat function.
Why?
That's the question,
the biggest
isn't
question.
It?
Why? Because I can make a link shell called TV Drama Lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And we can chat about our favorite TV dramas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why would I want to make a poll and not chat to anyone?
Why would you want to have this like message board functionality, which is like, hey, how did you like last week's episode of Fart in the Face? And then you have to wait for like 5 hours for them to be like to manually check.
To even realize
that you've said anything.
Hey, you can have it tell you when you got new notifications on it now.
No, but it doesn't do that if you're talking on the message board. That's only if the fellowship owner has posted an update. It won't tell you if there's a new message on the message board. It'll just be if you post a note.
I did do that, but okay.
I don't think they do, because
I haven't noticed a pop-up.
I genuinely don't. I mean, you might have to turn it on.
And it's only on login.
I genuinely don't know the functions of fellowship at this point.
Big mystery, I know. Yes, so there you go. If we had integrated fellowships with the pre-existing link shell of free company systems, it would have inevitably been impacted by these existing communities. We intentionally designed the fellowship in a way to separate it from the other two and let it grow as a unique system. So here's the thing. I thought that fellowships were going to be like FC Lite. It'll be Link Shell.
Yeah.
Like a stripped down FC. It's like you're not in a free company. Yeah. You're just in a community, but you still have a chat for that community. And then you can have that little poll thing, and you can do the all the other stuff that's in fellowships. For God's sakes, a chat, please. You can't talk over like fucking a bulletin board. This is very 2005.
Not in the way they've implemented it.
No. But that's how he feels about fellowships. Hopefully they'll keep updating it. I don't know how they're gonna
influence of those previous group communities in this game.
Yeah.
Needs to grow on its own.
Another hot topic. There's been talk recently in the community about player mods, specifically those which can change the appearance of other players without their consent.
Roller.
So, some players... I've constantly got my my melons out on Rollo's screen. Mm. Some players are also afraid that modders could impersonate or target, and by melons, I mean my testicles. Some players are also afraid that modders could impersonate or target other players on social media, making it look like they're using mods in an effort to get them banned. There has been talk of wanting a file integrity check for the game to prevent this, but is such a thing feasible? Well, we've talked about this before, like having like a file check. Yoshida says, since, let's just move on from that. We have to move on. Since data packets are distributed equally to all players, it is very difficult for us to identify what kind of tools are being used and how data is being handled on players' personal computers. That said, manipulating or secretly prying into others' data violates the game's terms, so we will inflict penalties if we see any issues after doing investigations. Rest assured that we do thorough investigations so as to not falsely accuse anyone.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone knows all of our various thoughts on modding.
Yeah.
Mm. If not, see.
We actually had a very interesting discussion about not 14, but Resident Evil 3 specifically, because there were mods out for that game. There were mods out for Resident Evil 2. Just mods for any game in general.
Hmm.
What's the point of a specific mod? You know what mods we're talking about. You know what mods we're on about with the melons. Why would you want to play like Resident Evil 3 with your jewelry hanging out?
It's a legit question.
With your majesty in full display. What's the point?
I just don't think... I feel like it's defeating the purpose of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if you took the model out of the game and put it into a different game where you can do whatever you want.
I mean, that's what source filmmaker fucking videos are for.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's a little pointless. I can see it more in 14 though. Specifically because it's more of an open, you can do whatever you want kind of thing, where you can, you know, you can set things up in your house if you want. But you can't do that in like a game like Resident Evil 3. I don't see the point of having Nemesis chase you in a thong while your tatas are flying everywhere while you run away from them. Like, I don't see the point. But hey, there you go. Anyways, moving on. There's been talk recently in the communities about a same question. So they said, with the streamlining of the 2.0 MSQ, speaking of what we talked about earlier, will there be any changes to the main scenario roulette dungeons, Castra Meridianum and the Praetorium? Yoshida says, no. We don't plan on making any changes at the moment. We would like to revisit the overall design of dungeons sometime in the future, but we haven't had the time to get it yet.
That's fine, HP. I love those dungeons so much.
I'm sort of in between on this, where, like, it's a useful way of getting tomes, but I also think it's not fun.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. If they made it fun and have exactly the same rewards, that can only be a win. But if they end up changing it, and now suddenly it doesn't give that much XP, and doesn't give that much poetics or whatever other tomes, and when they finally add in a new Moogle tomestone thing, and it doesn't give as many, then it's like, ugh, you know what, I'd just rather sit through the old one.
Yeah.
Watch something else, or listen to a podcast or something, and just go through it.
So they're not changing that, unfortunately, but, or fortunately, moving on, players being given dialogue options for how they react to certain quests has become a fun way to add personality to the Warrior of Light/Darkness. However, with Eureka, and now again with the Qatari Beast Tribe quests, we're given not just dialogue choices, but a choice that impacts the story itself. How do you and the team decide when having a choice like this is okay? We feel a bit bad for the team working on things like the Encyclopedia Eorzea. How is the canonical choice determined? Is there one? This is a very good question. This is what I've been wondering about the Qatari one specifically. Yoshida says, these kinds of options are mostly proposed by members of either the scenario team or the world lore team. None of them were ideas that I specifically asked the team to implement.
Instantly washing his hands of it.
I am more of the mind to instruct the development team to be careful of options which don't lead to irreversible outcomes, as that could pose different risks. I also give instructions to always avoid making options in which only one of them is canonical.
If you could personally on your game do something, but that's not actually what happened.
The true Qatari Beast Tribe history is, however, the player interprets it. It is unknown which option is canonical or whether both are actually false. To be honest, the development team hasn't decided what the official story is. And then he laughs.
I'm sort of like I can like reconcile the Qatari stuff easily or more easily simply because like it's so old that the like they can probably find evidence in whatever they look for to support whatever they come up with.
All
you're doing is picking between two modern Qataris' views of what a picture looks like, so both of them are probably incorrect, and that's fine.
I think
the point at which this might be the most interesting is actually one that's not brought up here, and that's the Nier Raid.
Because
that choice occurs very early in the story, unlike the one in Eureka, which happens right at the end. And it might have greater implications than what is the case with the Qatari Beast Tribe.
Yeah, because if you've made a choice that you're not happy with, you have to deal with that for the rest of the storyline. Now, we don't know what the consequences are yet. We will know with 5.3, probably. I'm a little sad that we'll probably now never know the real story of the Ronkan Empire.
Wait for the lore book, I think. That's more likely to have an
empire.
We might get to find out more about the Ronkan Empire, just maybe not its relation to the Qatari.
Yeah. The Qatari part will probably be ignored, but there's like stuff that they touch on there that would be very interesting to learn about. But
I really like the Ronkan Empire, but I think if they put loads of effort into it, because it's on the first, it's probably going to be more throwaway than with the Allegans or something.
Yes,
yeah.
The source is the only one that really matters, sadly.
That's true.
Even though the first is, in a lot of ways, more interesting.
Yeah.
Still don't really know how we get Allegan tombstones on the first.
True.
Wow.
It's fallen out of the Circus Tower. Remember, it's just all of it from there.
Sprayed out.
Yeah. With the recent patch, you added ocean fishing. Just as a reminder, ocean fishing still exists. A very different kind of content than you released previously. Are there any other types of larger, more casual content that you're considering?
Oh God, yeah. Group logging.
Group logging.
We've already got group crafting.
That's true.
Basically.
That's true.
Down the shaft, a miner's journey.
Yes. The personalities of modern day gamers are quite diverse, and nowadays the way people choose to spend their time differs from person to person depending on their personality. It is very important to have content that's readily accessible, and we plan to actively implement more of this type of content in the future. That said, I won't be spilling the beans about what kind of content is coming up next.
Go on, spill them.
Yeah, please spill your beans.
It's only a week away, Mela,
to
find out more. To answer chat, I don't consider the Diadem to be a version of group logging or mining, because what you do has no influence over what occurs to what happens to anyone else. Unlike
it's not a group effort.
Yeah,
unlike in ocean fishing, where one person can cause the whatever the hell thing is, the ethereal
pull.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a similar note to the last question, it has been a while since we've heard of you say anything about Blitzball. Is this still something the team is talking about? Yoshida says, I mentioned this previously, but we don't have a definitive answer yet. The conflict still exists of whether to create Blitzball content in line with MMORPG game systems or to make it something closer to the original. In the original, that's basically turn-based.
Yeah, I don't understand what they mean to put make it in line with the MMORPG game systems, because the original would work in an MMORPG game system.
Yeah.
I think what they're tossing up between is Blitzball versus Blitzball Manager.
Mm.
I'm okay with either.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm happy to go around and collect people from different teams and put together the Blitzball team. I've got all my best lads. I've got Hori Boulder.
of course.
I don't think I'll be interested in either version, to be perfectly honest.
I'm not on the Blitzball hype train, to be perfectly honest. But
no, I didn't like it in Tenth.
Because it's going to be a gold saucer thing, and we'll forget about it. And it's probably going to be like when they make a gold saucer game, like for instance, Air Force One, which is kind of like a game where you're locked in. I mean, do you love doing Air Force One?
No,
it's easy at least, but no, I do it if it's up and I'm there, but
yeah,
I wouldn't queue for it.
Yeah,
I don't remember the last time I've done Air Force One.
No, because
I think the trouble is in 10, Blitzball, it was okay, but it wasn't that good. There's a reason, for example, they've put Triple Triad in this game rather than Tetramaster. Triple Triad was good and Tetramaster was cack.
But then why did they put Lord of the Minion in this game?
That's a question for the ages there.
Yeah. The thing also with Blitzball, and what I wanted to say about Air Force One, is that Air Force One is like an instanced game, which means you can't be on the duty finder. And can you chat when you're in Air Force One?
Mm. I've never tried to press enter while I've been doing Air Force One.
Nah, I've been too enthralled.
Don't know if I'd say enthralled, but...
it'll be cool. I mean, people have been asking for Blitzball for a long time, though. So it's Blitzball and the fucking snowboard game from...
Oh, God, the snowboard 7? One would be even hard. Do you not... Have you experienced chocobo racing?
I'm actually a little disappointed.
The amount of times I pressed space to jump for one of those power-ups and he's jumped, a week later.
Yeah.
The thing about chocobo racing is that it requires you to ping other people and be in relation to other people.
Yeah.
That's what makes Air Force One responsive, is that it's essentially client-side.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could have client-side chocobo racing. Better than current iteration.
All right. That said, I personally don't think the latter will work well with the original one, which is a big reason as to why we haven't started any type of implementation. If we just force ourselves to push out content, we are bound to get feedback saying this isn't Blitzball at all.
What does that mean?
Because people have
this idea
of what Blitzball's gonna be like. I mean, I think knowing the spaghetti spaghetti code of this game, it's never gonna be like Blitzball in 10.
Even if it was, people would
Blitzball in 10.
People would still complain that it didn't have Whacker and Tidus in anyway.
Mm.
Even if it was quite a good implementation, there'll always be someone complaining.
Yeah, yeah. He's probably really tired of that question about the Blitzball.
I don't think they're developing it, guys.
No. But to be fair, I have to also. I mean, it's kind of Yoshi-P's fault as well, because he never shoots it down. He's like, yeah, we've been talking about it, you know, but maybe we're not gonna do it. So, you know, just say no. What's your favorite memory during development of Shadowbringers? This is Mogi. This is the lead character designer. It would be when I was asked to create design ideas for a plus-sized Mikote, even though I had no knowledge of the main scenario overview. Creating a character with a unique and distinctive body shape was a very fun experience.
Beautiful.
So he's talking about Dulia Chai.
With her materia slots.
Yeah, her slotted. Yeah.
She's so powerful.
Every time I see it, I think about just like pulling them out and just seeing like that slot that it's just
the imprints.
Yeah, the imprint. Ugh. One challenge I faced was how to express this different. Sorry, didn't the question. What were some of the unique challenges that Shadowbringers presented to you? Mogi says, one challenge I faced was how to express this different world as opposed to the world the players were already familiar with. How would I depict a sky without night and one so bright it appeared to have a halation effect? How should I represent primals that previously appeared in the source but also exists in this different world with their own unique appearances? The world setting, you know, I don't know what that actually means. Represent primals that previously appeared in the source.
Yeah, no, so the ones for the Eden raid.
Yeah, but the thing is, there is no logical reason for them to look different.
No, because it's from our mind. We've talked about this before. It's very strange.
That is true.
The world setting and premise were very important, so I hope this resonated with the players as a world that the development team was very particular about in the details. Cool. Next question. Each area in the game has its own unique identity or theme. The landscapes, the music, and even the gear that can come from it. What has been your favorite sort of aesthetic to work on? And is there any other you wish you could do that you haven't done yet? Yoskis Mogi says, I've mentioned this in a live stream previously, but it would be the first Bard artifact armor in 14. I believe it's a design that embodies Mr. Amano's design depictions and concept very well. I would love to revamp that design with our current graphics. In terms of elements that I have worked with, my favorites would probably be the Dark Knight's Deathbringer when it comes to weapons, and Kukulain for monsters. Mm. That's the big vomit and shit monster, isn't it?
It's supposed to be Cullen, isn't it?
Cullen?
I have no idea.
Cullen?
It's probably Irish.
As in Cullen? Colin Firth? Yes. See, the second time I get to talk about Colin Firth. Yay!
Yeah, full circle. I believe it's an Irish word.
Ah, Colin. I think I'd love to try... I learned something today, because I hate that word, and now I don't hate it anymore. It's just Colin Firth. I think I'd love to try and design something uniquely un-Final Fantasy someday.
He means Blizzard.
He wants to
make the next World of Warcraft expansion. Shadowlands.
Yeah. So there you go. A cute little Kuhulain. Kuhulain.
We'll get a definitive answer Kuhulain. On it at some point.
Kuhulain. All right. So that's that. There's also a very short interview with Woolhead, which I think is just going to... We're going to see more of Woolhead in the time to come, because we're leaning more toward Evil East again. So I think... Do you think they'll bring him back in, like, a limited capacity? Because
He's writing this story already. He's already brought back in a limited capacity.
Oh, yeah, you're right. For the MSQ?
MSQ. He's writing the Relic storyline.
Oh, yeah. The Relic storyline. That's what he's doing. Yeah. But do you think they'll bring him back for the main scenario as well? Where do you think the main scenario will touch on his storyline eventually, right? Because we're headed to Bozja and Almaska. That'll be interesting.
I don't think he would come back in the writing capacity. I think that he might be consulted.
Yeah, but I just
yeah, thought, I think yeah. they're going to try be. And take ownership
because
of the MSQ
because he. He's laid the groundwork for all of the Dalmascan stuff, for the Dalmascan resistance, and all of that is his work with Fran and all that. I wonder if, because now we know that they are not afraid of linking raids and alliance raids to the MSQ. They might link the Relic story to the MSQ as well.
I think they probably will in some way, but
yeah,
it's not like he's had to search very far in his mind to come up with Fran or any of the...
No, that's true. That's true. But they are his characters, though. So he's...
Yeah.
Well, not Fran. Yes. Is Fran his? I think Fran is his as well. Did he work on 12, didn't he?
12. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he worked on 12.
Yeah.
He must have.
Yeah.
That's why
I mean, it's his world. All of Dalmasca and Ivalice is Martinos. So,
The 14's Ivalice is not the one. That
oh, that's
is
true. That's true. But the Ivalice. Yeah, go on.
Remember, they're siblings. They're not married. Yeah.
Why? It is so pointless. They made Lord Rassler and Ash brother and sister. Absurd. Why? It also serves no purpose in the story so far.
No, they did not have to mention it at all.
No.
They could have completely ignored it.
Why did you remind me of that?
Bash is Noah's father, that's true.
Bash is...
They're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. It's his law.
It is. Yeah. It's just... I guess they're doing it...
And Fran...
To emphasize...
Is that everyone's brother.
I think they're doing it to, like, emphasize that this is definitely not the Ivalice. The canon Ivalice. Yeah.
I think they just want to try and break it apart.
Yeah.
If you're going to try and link something to the MSQ, you don't want it to be... fan service only. It has to have substance as well, and it can't have substance if it's just carbon copy.
I may have forgotten.
I like them pushing it further and further away from what it once was.
Yeah,
to be perfectly honest.
A question,
because it makes it more out
about Lord Rassler. Do we? Because I can't remember this. Was he killed here in our lore? Was he killed? Can't remember. It's been so long, but I remember. Because he dies in the beginning of 12.
The Ivalice raid series was very lore heavy and a while ago now.
Yeah, there's a lot to dig up. But I just wonder if, like, did they bring that in? Like, oh, he was killed, but they are brother and sister. Like, it's so pointless. You brought one plot point from the game in, but decided to change the relationship.
I don't remember much of the history in the Ivalice storyline.
Oh, yeah. Ivalice storyline. A lot of lore. Okay.
And you know what? There's going to be a lot of lore in this relic quest line as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to Matsuno. He claims he's a hardcore Final Fantasy 14 player. This is by USG. Very short talk with Matsuno about 14. Fans of Final Fantasy Tactics know the name Yasumi Matsuno. He's well known for his work in this tactics strategy genre, serving as director on Ogre Battle, Tactics Ogre, and Final Fantasy Tactics. Matsuno also directed and produced the Lost Classic Vagrant Story and co-directed Final Fantasy XII before leaving the project. Oh.
What does that mean?
So because I knew that there's something about 12 in Matsuno. I don't think Matsuno was as involved in 12 as in Tactics and Ogre and all that. Matsuno departed Square Enix in 2005, and since then, his work has been sporadic. He's just been drinking wine. Unless you've been playing Final Fantasy XIV, Square Enix's popular MMO. For the Stormblood expansion, Matsuno contributed to the development of the Return to Ivalice raid, which heavily references Final Fantasy Tactics and Final Fantasy XII. And he returned to Final Fantasy XIV to craft the Save the Queen rally quest line for the Shadowbringers expansion. According to Final Fantasy XIV director Naoki Yoshida, Matsuno is a repeat collaborator because he's a hardcore Final Fantasy XIV player. Mr. Matsuno is a game creator that I look up to, and he's also a hardcore Final Fantasy XIV player.
That's kind of sad.
Again, we talk quite a bit about Final Fantasy XIV outside of work as well, so creating that kind of mutual excitement through those conversations may lead me to asking Mr. Matsuno, or even other creators, to work on 14 again. Well, there you go. He answered my initial question, says Yoshida. Uh-huh. Hopefully Yoshida and
Matsuno... I'm starting to think this is not a Matsuno interview.
It's not. Hopefully Yoshida and Matsuno are able to work together again in the future. Yoshida and the team at Square Enix's third development division are currently working on a brand new title for the next generation.
Okay. That's true.
Some are hoping that game is Final Fantasy 16.
Oh, can you imagine?
Well, this was definitely a very short interview, which wasn't an interview with Matsuno at all.
No.
Well, there you go. Thank you, USG. It's very clear that we didn't read through this story. We just read the headline for this one and we just tacked it in there. But it's
I know that he's a hardcore Final Fantasy 14 player.
Whatever that means, like, does that mean? What does it mean? Do you think he plays 14 hardcore?
Yeah, he gets drunk and plays 14 all day.
No.
Living the life.
When did 15 come out again?
Ooh. I'm going to say 2016 as a gamble.
16, 17? 16.
17 sounds late.
Yeah.
2016. And then 2 years later on Windows and LOL Stadia. No one cares.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Roman numerals stopped being good after 13.
Mm.
What do you mean by stopped being good?
Roman numeral.
I agree.
And after that, they all get a bit messy. So 16 XVI.
Yeah. That's not going to look nice.
That's going to look bad.
Yeah.
XVI.
I actually liked it better with X. I thought X was the perfect.
10 was a good end. Yeah. That would have been a good
just Final
end.
Fantasy X.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool looking.
Do you really think Final Fantasy XX is going to look good? Absolutely not.
I wonder what they.
Just wait until Final Fantasy Triple X.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I hope I'm alive when Final Fantasy XX
comes out.
Oh, God. That's so far ahead in the future. Good God.
Can you imagine Final Fantasy XX?
Oh, and God. And after that, they have to, like, now they have three X's, and now they have to go XXX1. XXX two, XXX three. Like, that's a fucking long number, right?
Final Fantasy L.
There's a certain point at which, like, numbers in, like, game titles, sequels lose all meaning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When do they go? Sure. When do they switch? Oh wait, is C30? So I was about to ask, when does it switch to the other letter?
Is 50.
It
50?
L is 50.
Oh, L is 50.
C is 100.
Oh, yeah, C is 100. So you have to wait until the L. So that's a lot.
D is 500?
I think D is 500, well, yeah.
Final Fantasy D.
Can you imagine Final Fantasy L?
Fucking 50 games. Holy shit. At that point.
At least we can rest assured we'll definitely be dead by then.
That's true. Mm. That is true.
I never want to see that.
No. All right. That's the show. We have to wrap up, and then we have to go into a very reduced post show where we'll only discuss questions from the syndicate. So we'll see you in the post show. Thank you for watching this slightly delayed, slightly cut version of Speakers of Eidolon. We are 9 episodes away from the bicentennial celebration of Speakers of Eidolon. There's not going to be a celebration.
Think about what we're going to do.
We're not going to do anything. Thanks for watching. we'll be back tomorrow for... It'll be Sunday Fun Day, and then next week it'll be Gillionaire, I think. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye. Stay tuned for the... what do I do at the end? Follow twitter.com/speakersxiv. No, I don't think I ever say that. YouTube.com/speakersxiv. /Discord if you want to join our Discord server. Link's in the description. And if you want to... No, I've already said that. Send us Mogmail. speakersxiv.com/Mogmail. We'll do Mogmail first to next week. Goodbye.
You've just listened to an episode of Speakers of Eidolon, produced by Speakers Network. Producer for this episode was Lukeel Bravestone. Final Fantasy and Final Fantasy XIV is a registered trademark of Square Enix Holding Company Limited. If you would like to support the show, consider pledging to our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/speakersxiv or buy some merch at teespring.com/stores/speakersxiv. Link to both of these sites, as well as our Discord server, is provided in the episode description. Thank you for listening to this Speakers Network production.